Welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today as we bring the Word of God to bear in every area of life. And we believe that God's Word is there to equip the man of God for every good work. We want to draw from God's Word and apply it to our present situation. Certainly the mask question comes up again and again. I'm hesitant sometimes to bring it out because there is a lot of controversy about it. There are a lot of emotions that rise, but hey, this is relevant, Bill. This is massively relevant. 36 states now require people to wear face coverings in public. 36 states. Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds just announced the statewide mask mandate on November 16th, so it was, what, 3-4 days ago. Now, here's the breakdown from what I have. 36 state governments require people to wear face coverings in public. Okay, 36. Three states are massively tyrannical. Okay? It's like, wear it everywhere. I guess it's every public place, but maybe it's in bed too. I don't know. They have bed police that come check on you, make sure you're wearing your mask in bed. Okay, three states required everywhere. It's Maine, Pennsylvania, and Delaware. So if you live in Maine, Pennsylvania, and Delaware, I feel sorry for you. I'm sorry. It's got to be tough. 21 states. You got to wear everywhere where social distancing is not possible. 5 states, you got to wear it in wherever there's an indoor public thing happening, like stores, churches, etc., whatever. That's 5 states. I think that includes Colorado. And then there are 3 states where it's most public indoor events you're required to wear the mask. So some 36 states now requiring people to wear face coverings in public. Well, as I said, this is a controversial, somewhat complex question. I think we should be talking about it. Hopefully we can get to the point where, you know, we can disagree a little bit. And Christian liberty is important here. People make different choices on these sorts of things. I think this would test the love of the body, too, because some people have different opinions on this kind of thing. I think every church has different opinions on the mask. I'd say for the most part, our church isn't that big on mask wearing. And my position is that very little. I'm not against wearing, you know, masks. I'm not against doctors wearing masks. I'm not against catcher wearing masks. You know, guys play baseball. Have you ever seen a catcher?
Yeah.
Wears a mask. I'm not superstitious against wearing masks. I'm not superstitious for wearing masks. Like, oh, we got to wear the mask. Or, oh, can't wear the mask. But my policy is to minimize the use of the mask. Now, I've gone on airplanes where you've got to wear the mask or they get after you. They throw you off their plane.
They'll throw you off the plane and they'll put you on no-fly list.
But, trail mix. Trail mix. You know what trail mix? Trail mix involves small bits of things to eat. Peanuts, raisins, chocolate chips.
So you know what you're doing, Kevin? You're pulling the old cell phone trick. If you're walking down the sidewalk and you see somebody that you really don't want to talk to,
okay, right. Okay.
You whip out your cell phone and pretend to be on the cell phone.
Pretend to be listening, right?
Pretend to be talking on the cell phone. So I've seen people carry, you know, big gulp cups. And there's nothing in them, but
oh, like even through the airport.
Yeah, through the airport. Yeah.
I've done that too. You get the Starbucks.
Yeah.
Get the big Starbucks.
Yeah.
And you just work through it.
But I can't support Starbucks, so I have to go to Caribou.
You got to go to Caribou.
Yeah. I love Caribou.
But that's generally my approach. Now again, we're going to get into the specifics on this, and I just want people to understand that different people handle this differently. For me, my policy is as little as possible. Now, if there's some store where I got to go in and get something, and it's literally, they feel they will be shut down. And by the way, did you know there are health department inspectors?
No, Have you heard about this? I was in a store in Inglewood.
Okay.
I didn't have my mask on. The clerk said, you know, please put your mask on. We got to talking.
Yeah.
And she said, well, the issue is, she said, I don't care if you wear a mask, but we have mask police that come around. I said, excuse me. I said, are these uniformed officers? She said, no, they're from the health department. If they come in and see a customer without a mask, they pull the business license and shut me down.
Yeah, that's a sad thing. But if I sense that's the case, now, again, you need to understand the establishments you're going to. And how committed they are to the policy, all of that plays in. So it's never a cut and dried thing, especially when it comes to businesses.
Well, I've seen some businesses put up signs saying, at the front door saying, if you show up and you don't have a mask, we'll assume that you have a medical reason for not wearing
that.
A mask.
I've heard that.
Because we're prohibited, according to the HIPAA laws, from asking about your medical condition, and the Americans for Disability Act prohibits us from asking, we'll assume that you do. So if you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. If you don't want to wear a mask, don't wear a mask.
I've seen that sign in
and those are business owners who have courage
and a little bit of chutzpah and a little bit of intelligence. Okay, well, it's a tough subject.
I don't think it's that tough, Kevin. I don't think it's that tough. The question you have to ask is this: here's the underlying question. Do you trust your government?
No. I mean, this is tyranny at its worst.
Now, if they can demand a mask, they can demand a vaccine.
Oh, yeah.
They can demand a vaccination. Yeah. You can't fly unless you've been vaccinated.
Oh, yeah. You know that's coming.
That's coming.
It's a real possibility. It's coming. It's a tough subject. It's hard. It's tyrannical. I don't like it. I don't particularly like this mask mandate. I don't think very many people do.
But they're very much sheeple-like. And they put a piece of cloth over their faces. And it's much like a rabbit's foot. It has as much benefit as a rabbit's foot. Most of the masks that you see do not filter out smoke.
And your recommendation is to wear it as little as possible. If you got to fly, you got to fly. That would be your recommendation.
And if you got to fly, you got to fly.
All right, be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson.
Ever since the creation of the Garden of Eden, Satan has been working his hardest to erase the knowledge of God and seduce the creatures made in God's image to think that they are the center of the universe. One look at today's society and you see his progress. Humanistic thought has inundated our culture, and we can trace its roots directly back to the classroom and the textbooks we're setting in front of our kids. That's why every Christian homeschool parent should have a curriculum that's not only rock solid academically, but most importantly will point students back to their Creator as the source of all wisdom and knowledge, and to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. If you've been struggling to find such a curriculum, look no further. Here at Generations, we've spent over 15 years developing our Christian discipleship curriculum to help Christian homeschool parents like you pass on the faith to your children by teaching a God-centered view of life and integrating the Bible into every lesson. Our goal is to not only help you meet your students' academic needs, but also to assist you in discipling your children for generations to come. So get started today with our Christian discipleship curriculum and watch your children marvel, learn, and mature as they embark on a God-focused learning adventure to discover more about the world around them and the one who made it all. You can learn more about our curriculum resources and pick up our newly released fifth grade curriculum pack today at generations.org/curriculum. That's generations.org/curriculum.
Back on the Generations Broadcast, this is Kevin Swanson talking about tyranny again, but this is very relevant to probably 97% of people listening to this broadcast. Obviously a controversial thing, but friends, please understand that, man, we have signed up for this tyranny. This tyranny has come like a freight train over 120 years. If you begin to give up your medical funding to Obamacare or to Medicare or to Medicaid, governments feel they have the obligation to pay for your medication. Now they're going to feel they're obligated to deal with
the
proactive elements of your life. Now they feel like they have to be the nanny state. If they are responsible for paying your bills when you get sick, when you get COVID, when you get the flu, if they feel they're responsible for that and you have somehow abdicated your responsibility to pay for your own medical bills, guess what's going to happen on the other end?
They're going to check your diet. They're going to check your medications. They're going to check to see whether or not you have complied with your doctor's orders.
Yep. You can sign up for the rest of it, friends. That's why this is not a simple subject in the sense that we have seen this tyranny come for a long time, and a fair percentage of Americans seem to be just fine with Medicare, Medicaid, Obamacare, and all the rest, and they won't exempt themselves from this. They won't attempt to exempt themselves from this. And so, friends, I'm telling you, the tyranny has been coming for a long time. And do remember that what the Word of God says, for the transgression of the land, many other princes thereof, keep that in mind, too. For the transgression of the... So I want to start on the humble edge. We can't just say, hey, we oppose tyranny, and all this tyranny shouldn't be from the outset. No, we're going to fight tyranny. Absolutely, we're going to fight tyranny. Yes, we're going to fight tyranny. But before we get there, let's humble ourselves and realize that tyranny also comes by the hand of a sovereign God, because for the transgression of the land, many are the princes thereof. Our families, our churches are often bogged down in sin, sexual sin, anger, pride, pornography, and people are upset about the government forcing them into masks. You know what? We deserve gulags. We don't just deserve masks. We deserve gulags. You know, I run into young men soaked in pornography. I talk to them about their porn issue, and then the next thing they say, we're just upset with the government forcing us to wear masks. Well, the hypocrisy is just dripping on this. It's overwhelming. We deserve prison camps and gulags if this nation is bogged down in all of this sin. And we've seen so much social unraveling of families and marriages. We've seen a cultural, social catastrophe over the last 40 years. And you say, well, you know, we're just wonderful people. We don't deserve this gulag. We don't deserve this tyranny. I think we need to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God and realize that we are under the judgment of God. We have become slaves to sin, and therefore, for the transgression of the land, many are the princes thereof. Now, we'll start there. We'll start with humbling ourselves and repenting. So the first question is, how can we repent? And then the second question is, how can we fight tyranny? So I look at it as a both and. I'm not a big fan of tyranny, but I'm also a big fan of repentance, especially as a nation so bogged down in sin. Here's the big picture question. Is it a sin to wear a mask? No, not necessarily. Is it a sin not to wear a mask? No, not necessarily. Catchers wear masks in baseball and all the rest, right? But can you become overly fastidious about wearing a mask? Yeah. Can you become overly fastidious about not wearing a mask? Yeah. Do we know for sure, with 100% certainty, based on 1,000 double-blind studies conducted in a completely closed environment, blocking all confounding factors, that masks work to prevent disease in all circumstances or don't work in all circumstances? No. Come on. I mean, anybody who's been involved in scientific experiments, especially when it comes to human behavior, especially when it comes to blocking factors in human experience, very, very difficult to do it. You don't do this stuff in closed laboratories, and you don't know what really happens in the long run for those societies that decide to wear masks and those that don't. Now, we can point to Sweden and say they don't wear masks, Norway does, and all the rest, but you still can't block every possible factor involved in these nations. You can't do that. You can't know with 100% certainty, and anybody who brings scientific data to bear and assumes that somehow their study is absolutely certain that masks prevent or don't prevent disease is just in the world of probability and induction. It's hard to draw absolute conclusions from these sorts of things. And that's why we don't argue tooth and nail over the effectiveness of essential oils, masks, midwifery versus hospital births, McDonald's food versus organic food, and masks versus no masks. And
McDonald's
on and on
is not organic.
No, it's not organic. And we're not going to get in a fight over this either. It's not going to happen.
So, I'm going to have a food fight with you. Okay. Throw a Big Mac or French fries at you.
The point is, there's got to be significant Christian liberty in these things. People will come down on a certain conclusion on McDonald's food, like Bill. You know, Bill will fight that issue.
Yeah.
To the mat. Some will do the same thing with essential oils.
To the Big Mac.
To the Big Mac. Some will do the same thing with essential oils and so forth and so on. But here's another point, is that freedom is a value. Freedom is a value. We need to see freedom as a value. 1 Corinthians 7 says it's a value. If you can be free, use it rather. You're bought with a price, be not the servants of men. So that is a value. Absolutely. Of course, the fundamental freedom is freedom from sin, but this also involves freedom from heavy duty, unnecessary servitude to men. So it's a value. It's something worth fighting for. And as Christians, I think we need to be pushing hard for liberty, Bill. We need to vote for liberty.
We need to elect people who aren't snowflakes, people who are willing to protect our liberties and our constitutional liberties and not jump the gun and do these massive quarantine the healthy laws or regulations or executive orders.
You know, there's the old 60s mantra, question authority. I think we have lost the skepticism, the healthy skepticism that we need as Christians when it comes to these mandates, when it comes to statements that we read in the press. We need to be constantly asking, how do they know that to be true? Where is the science that supports this? And if we continue to press that issue, then we may shed some light on the issue. And we may see that these restrictions are political and not health driven.
We've also made this point before, Bill. Today, people have this impression that somehow once a law is passed through a legislature and signed by the governor, it's just good to go. But people need to understand that it's not just the law legislated, it's the law executed, and the law has to sustain challenge all the way to the Supreme Court of the United States. There are multiple branches of government, is what we're saying.
Right.
And these provide a balance for us. If a law is passed, but a local magistrate says, hey, we're not going to prioritize that as important, that's an important data point. There may be a degree of breathing room here. The executive may not be willing to advance a tyrannical law. A state law may not be executed by your local county sheriff, allowing to some measure of freedom in lower magistracy. That may exist. And so this idea that it's the law. Well, in the case of many of these executive orders, it's not the law.
It's just a mandate.
It's just a mandate, right?
And that equals a suggestion, because laws are passed by legislatures, not by edict from governors. Chairs.
So don't be too simplistic about this. Even the judicial branch may be eager to call a particular law unconstitutional, which would allow for some noncompliance while the law itself is being adjudicated. And that's what happened in the case of Pastor John MacArthur. He was able to kick it into the courts, and then it went back and forth in the courts for the last 3 to 4 months. Meanwhile, they were able to continue operating because the law was, or the mandate was, being discussed at the judicial level. So the point is that we have a little more freedom in America. We don't have a single branch of government. We don't have one dictator who's the lawgiver, the executive branch, the judicial branch, all wrapped up in one person. Friends, we have a little bit of freedom. Now, Jesus' main point is agree with your adversary quickly while you're in the way with him, lest he deliver you over to the judge and so forth and so on. But what he's saying is, you know, hey, just be aware that there is such a thing as multiple branches here, and the idea is to keep yourself out of jail, especially if you're just watering all these plants with your blood and they're not forcing you to do something that would violate God's law. Also, symbols mean different things to different people. Be aware of that. Christian liberty kicks in there. Masks may mean one thing to one person, another thing to another person. So allow for a little Christian liberty in terms of what masks actually mean or what people think they'll do for them. You know, you have to understand, some people think they're really wonderful things, and some people don't think they do anything. Some people think they're counterproductive. They actually will kill you. Some people think they won't kill you. They'll heal you. So, hey, there's going to be a little difference in terms of how people view these things. All of the principles Jesus gives us apply, obviously. So take into consideration these things, even walking the extra mile. You know, I mean, hey, had to carry the gear of some Roman soldier a mile, and then you walk an extra mile with him. It's kind of a pain. It's something you didn't really want to do today. But Jesus says there are situations in which you might inconvenience yourself. So be aware of these principles that Jesus has given. Various cultures tend to migrate towards masks, whereas other cultures don't. That's another point. I grew up in Japan, where masks was the big thing, and everybody with a flu or anybody with a cold, you know, would wear a mask, and you would see that in the church and such. Just various cultures handle these things differently. Also, remember this one: public property, private property, and your property. That's really key. Something that's not respected very much these days. Certainly the government isn't respecting private property very much, but we need to respect private property. We need to know when we are on public property. If we are on public property and there are rules that govern public property, so be it. You know, you're in the city hall, there's rules that govern. You're in a store, there are rules that govern. No shoes, no shirt, no service. Well, you walk in without shoes and shirt, they have a right to kick you out. It's their store. You know, they can kick you out if they want to.
Yeah. Now, almost everything is publicly regulated. Now, we remember this, friends. This is the sad thing about stores and hospitals. This is the sad issue. Partially because governments control the hospitals, they regulate the hospitals. Or they fund the hospitals, they control the hospitals, they regulate the hospitals. But sadly, they regulate restaurants. Now, I happen to be principally against governments regulating industry. I just am, Bill. I have to tell you, I don't think it's biblical. I think if, you know, biblical government comes into play, Bill, we need to take away all the regulation and turn it over to private enterprise to work out their own rating systems. In fact, there are wonderful rating systems online all the time. In fact, we have restaurant rating systems. You know, if somebody gets, if, you know, six people got sick eating at a certain restaurant, that's going to show up on Yelp.
Yep.
Praise God for Yelp. I think some of these rating opportunities that are available, publicly accessible everywhere today will relieve future governments of regulation. And I look forward to that time, but that's not where we are right now.
And sadly, what the government takes, it rarely gives back.
Well, that's true. Until there's something of a overturn of governments and we get a restart button at some point in the future. We'll see how God brings these things about in the future. But for the time being, friends, stores and hospitals have submitted themselves to government regulation, and that's happened over the last 75 years. So, as Bill mentioned, it's hard to reverse that kind of stuff. The government can remove a license. We've talked about that already, if the private enterprise doesn't submit to the regulation. So just remember, sometimes your private enterprises are caught between a rock and a hard place. Also, you need to know the commitment of the store to its policy, and I said that earlier. You can test that out a little bit. There are ways in which you can do that.
And you can vote with your dollars.
Oh, you sure can. You can go somewhere else. Good point. Now, here's another point I want to make on the mask thing. The church should not be publicly regulated. I understand other businesses are publicly regulated. The church should not be publicly regulated, especially in terms of whether they meet or not, especially in terms of whether they wear masks, whether they can sing hymns. Friends, that just cannot be regulated by the state. And I realize, again, this one's got some controversy behind it. There are pastors that say, we're just going to submit to whatever the governments tell us to do. But, friends, there needs to be.
It's a matter of jurisdiction.
Hey, the Pilgrims and the Puritans came over here. Do you realize that the Pilgrims that hung on those gallows in the 1590s, they hung on those gallows because they did not submit to government regulation of their churches?
Yeah.
And the church needs to press hard against this kind of regulation. I understand the stores and restaurants are regulated, but the church should not be regulated as the restaurants are regulated. Now, granted, if somebody, you know, murders somebody in a church building, yeah, the government...
They can't claim sanctuary.
No. Governments need to interact on things like that. I get that. But the church should not be regulated in terms of where they meet, when they meet, how they meet, whether they will sing, or whether they will wear masks. Now, whether you wear a mask or not on your property, of course, is a wisdom issue. If governments are mandating masks or double-layer socks or seat belts or bed belts or whatever the question is, we need to ask ourselves, what's the best strategy for undoing the tyranny? That's a wisdom issue. This is a wisdom question. We generally encourage people not to take up a sidewalk protest in front of Walmart. Better to take the matter to the city hall, or better to repent of your sin and plead the mercy of God. That's good. We already talked about that. But also better to fund a campaign of a principled Christian leader who will fight for freedom. Spend $200 on a Christian candidate. This idea that you'll reverse everything by protesting in front of a $12 an hour Walmart employee, that doesn't change things fundamentally.
Right.
I think, you know, let's remember, friends, there are wise ways to deal with tyranny. Better to run for office yourself or raise sons who would serve as county sheriff sometime in the future. You know, that kind of thing. Be constructive. Think about, okay, I don't like this tyranny. What can I do about whine all day long, complain to your kids, and be just a big old grump all day in your house? That's not a good way to change policy, you know.
I'd also recommend that you read the stories of those who survived and suffered under tyrannical governments like in Eastern Europe. And there's a great book that I just finished called Live Not by Lies, and the author recounts the stories of how these people resisted tyranny in small ways. It doesn't have to necessarily be a big thing, but you can resist in small ways. And what you do is the mantra is see, judge, and act. See what's going on, judge it according to what the Bible says, and then take some kind of action. Don't just whine.
There you go. There
don't
you go.
Just complain.
Yep.
Act in small ways mm-hmm. and collectively in larger ways.
Mm-hmm.
You may end up in prison. You may yeah. end up being persecuted and tortured, mm-hmm. but you may just say, no, here's where I draw the line on a mask, for example.
And you may plant seeds that eventually will yield more fruit in your children's and your grandchildren's generation. Let me close by just saying this, friends. Let's be sure that as we interact with these things with our brothers and sisters in the church, that, yeah, we hate masks. Yeah, we hate tyranny. But let's be sure that we're not just hating the deeds of the Nicolaitans, you know, but let's not forget our first love. Let's love God. Let's love our brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's love our neighbor. I don't think I've even brought out that issue. Let's love our neighbor. Find the best way to love the neighbor that is right there in front of you. So let's make sure that in the process of all of this, we're not forgetting that the primary commandment is still to love God with heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love one another such that we would give our lives for each other. So keep that in mind as well as you enter into these discussions. Well, that wraps up this edition of the Generations Broadcast. We did the best we could to address this from, 17 different angles on this edition. But if somebody has an 18th angle, don't get upset, please. Just email us at host@generations.org and add to the discussion. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack, and we encourage you to read the story of freedom, the story of how great men of God have gone before us, great women of God have gone before us, and, of course, the story of the Pilgrims, the story of William the Silent, the story of Braveheart of Scotland, the story of the Swiss battle for liberty, the story, William Tell, remember that story? That's a key story in the battle for liberty. And, of course, the story of the Magna Carta. All of that in the story of freedom. So read the stories of freedom. Read about how people have fought for Western freedoms over 800 years. It's been a great deal. And 400 years for the United States. Read the story of freedom. Get the history of freedom down. And then pick up that legacy. Pick up that torch and carry it forward in the next generation. The story of freedom available at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.